Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome, and you are listening to another installment of the Identity Theft Warriors. As my guest that you're about to hear from says, it's the same thing, just a different victim. And you read the papers daily, and you know that it just keeps going on and on, seemingly without stop. How many times have you gotten a new credit card in the mail that you didn't ask for, but there was a breach? Either by the credit card company or by somebody you once ordered something from, and boom, your information's been compromised, new credit card, and you also get a year's free monitoring from a company that's well known, but that doesn't really do the trick, which is why keepmyid.org is unique in this area. It actually has a program that prevents identity theft rather than notifying you once it's happened and leaving you to pick up the pieces. And experts in this industry, there's a lot of them out there, but Bruce Anderson, Bruce, you're CEO of Cyber Investigation Services, do a lot of things, investigations, helping people to restore your reputation or brand once it's happened. You work with attorneys. You've been at this for a while. We're really thrilled to have you back with us.
I appreciate you having me.
So hardly a day goes by where you don't see that something has happened. I mean, today, one of the largest banks in the world, largest bank in the United States, JP Morgan Chase, got breached along with a well-known financial reporting news company. We can guess who that might be. There's probably only three or four out there that it could be, but 100 million people, Bruce, lose their identities or get their data breached, clipped in one fell swoop. I mean, this is an epidemic.
It really is. And the challenge with that epidemic is that it is just not that difficult to breach companies like this. We get asked to look at companies all the time for their security measures, and you know, it's sad because you can just kind of walk right into their company without a whole lot of work. And so consequently, that if you take that and combine that with, you know, when you become a very high profile target where you can now get lots of data, is that, you know, you become a real target. And a lot of these companies, you know, they do have some level of security going on, but it's very, very difficult today for most companies to, you know, kind of accept that fact and make the necessary spend in order to tighten up their security and to protect that kind of information. And so far, legally, there hasn't been a lot of recourse from it, you know, that has cost big companies a lot of money in the process.
Yeah, well, you look at JP Morgan, largest bank in the U.S., or one of the largest, if not the largest. And what was unique about that story is that they actually caught the guys who did it. Four people were indicted. That's not usually the case once this happens.
Yeah, the bigger ones are starting to see a lot of cooperation in going after and catching these individuals. You do leave fingerprints. You really do. And when you combine that with offline intelligence, with some of the agencies and some of the cooperation of countries, we're seeing more and more people that are actually getting caught for this. But still, the penalties are just not that steep. You know, they can steal 100 million records and whatnot, and, you know, and you're seeing people get 3 and 4 years in prison. And so, you know, the penalties just haven't caught up, and enforcement's getting a little better at catching the bigger type breaches that get people's attention this way. But the sad part is that there is that, you know, when you look across a lot of companies, that they're just really wide open from a vulnerability basis to be able to breach them.
Yeah, it's amazing how easy it seems to be. I guess a company like JP Morgan Chase got hundreds of thousands of computers, users with passwords, and a lot of what they do is strapped onto legacy systems. Somewhere in the midst of their systems, they're running COBOL, which was a program language that got developed 50 years ago. Very hard to secure that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you think about it, it's kind of like designing a city where you look at an overall network and or an overall city, and you add this thing because the city's growing, and without zoning laws, a city can become a mess. And you got the same thing in computer networks, is that without a real organized plan, which back when a lot of these companies started their major infrastructure and made their infrastructure buys, that they designed the architecture of these systems that have some serious flaws right now. And it's expensive, disruptive, and time-consuming in order to switch them all over. And henceforth is that, if a hacker sniffs out a company and going at that, and then they they can gain access. But the flip side of it is that users continue to be vulnerable, which is where a lot of these big hacks come from, is that they're not coming in from the back door so much, although there are a lot of companies that are wide open that way. But they're coming by jumping right over the fence and delivering something to a user, and sure enough, they'll click it and you're in the network, and then the rest of it is just navigating the networks to get to the goodies to be able to steal it.
Yeah, it's amazing that it's become that commonplace that nobody really thinks twice about it anymore. It's just like another story, like another war, like so many things that happen in society every day. And until you get hit by it personally, it really is just not a big deal.
Well, if you think about the damages, and don't get me wrong, it's expensive to clean these up. It's expensive to do a lot of different things there. But quite frankly, for a lot of these companies, the amount of money that they spend is somewhat of a drop in the bucket. And, 2 months later, everybody's forgot about it. They got their new credit cards and, we're off onto the next story. So it's like the latest news story, and there's no real repercussions financially by both either the government and or civil tort that has so far got anybody's real attention going, wow. And I think until you go, wow, you're just not going to have the resources and energy thrown into it necessary in order to protect it.
Yeah. And we've seen this where the IRS just ignores the threat, warned numerous times by people at keepmyid.org. You've got a problem here, Houston. You better take care of it. And they ignore it. And then hundreds of thousands of people have their data compromised.
Right.
So
Yep. I certainly understand, and as a cyber security specialist and investigator and whatnot, as we it gives us plenty of work to absolutely do, but it's a big ocean.
Yeah. So obviously you've had some cases recently that have been pretty substantial. Tell us, can you share one so people out there, you can get a feel for what Bruce does?
Yeah, I mean, we've had, we've had cases involving in the past, not too distant past of and again, I can't mention names, but
of course.
Celebrities that have had their Social Security stuff stolen and personal information spread all over the internet. And if you think about it from a celebrity's viewpoint, is you're talking about brand damage very quickly of being able to get out and, across the world. And so how do you now go find that? How do you keep it from reproducing? And how do you keep it from, continuing to create that damage? And so we've had several things involving different celebrities for that. The nude photo hacks with that. We you know, we dealt with that, and that was basically, you know, most of the people got their information stolen from the iCloud, not from their iPhones, and so that was a breach of Apple, you know, in those particular, you know, individual accounts. And you know, we've had other you know, corporations had a manufacturer that, you know, that got breached, and their, you know, was ex-employees basically trying to destroy the company, trying to destroy, what am I looking for, intellectual property that they've had for 60-something years, that, you know, there was one copy of that that happened to be, well, actually, there were two copies. There was one online, and then there was one that was hidden in a safe that has been held in written paper for years. And unfortunately, that was there, but they went in and basically wiped out their entire system for the purpose of destruction and retaliation as an ex-employee, as well as a competitor at the same time. So we see a fair amount of that, where ex-employees or ex-partners, you know, will branch out and then have some form of competitor attacks. We're seeing an increase of attacks of executive stalking. You know, major corporation, multi-billion-dollar corporation, their executives were being targeted for someone that didn't like their company and what they stood for, and so went after the executives personally, not just the company, but were going after them and harassing them and sending them information and text and emails and phone calls. And we've got several executives that at the personal level, people try to hack them, and you know, and again, some of this spills over into their personal life, some of it's their corporate life. My goodness, and I'm sitting here, I'm looking at my board right now, and I've got a corporation where an ex-employee of a major oil company, but owner's son is, we're investigating that component of stealing of a bunch of money, and I'm looking at several hacking cases. I'm looking at penetration testing of a major major corporation online because they had a breach of their website and their information, and it goes on and on and on.
Goodness, it's really serious, and you can be wiped out before you even know you've been wiped out, and that's what's really frightening.
Yeah, the thing that is hard for people to grasp is that there are really two levels of this. Level one is what everybody talks about, is, you know, protecting against, you know, with antiviruses and all the different things, and keeping your computers updated, and, you know, and what I call drive-by shootings. They're opportunistic attacks where it's not against you personally, but it is, you know, you just happen to walk into their web trap, if you will, or their email trap or their phishing trap or whatever that is. And they do that in bulk. And then there's targeted attacks with sometimes done by people that know what they're doing and extremely well know what they're doing, and sometimes by rank amateurs and all the way across the board. But when someone comes after you personally or your corporation personally, where what I would call a targeted attack, it is very difficult to stop. And so consequently is the types of security measures that you have to take if you are in part of a targeted type of an attack are very, very different than, you know, the what I would call the general public with that. And, you know, the struggle that you're seeing and with the identity theft is that you have millions of people being impacted by nothing that they could have done to change it in a targeted attack against a very specific target.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, I have to share a story with you, Bruce, that happened to a friend of mine. She's on a dating site. She's been talking to this guy for a couple of months, and he gets her to give him her email address. He sends her an email that's infected with something or other. She's totally hacked all her email, all of her accounts. It was a keylogger, you know, a program that logs in every keystroke and every website you go to, had all of her passwords, grabbed her bank account, took her money out of there, identity theft like you couldn't believe, and then disappears. Who knows where the guy was? He might have been in Russia, or he might Moscow, Russia, or Moscow, Idaho. Who the heck knows? And at least if she'd had a service like keepmyid.org, she could have prevented it or become aware immediately when they tried to grab her data. So all these things, you know, you can do something, but in the end, all of your data is already out there, and it's just a matter of somebody coming and picking through it and saying, it's your lucky day. And with corporations, they've got to do more to protect this. They've really...
You're seeing it come down to even further than that. And you know, and keep in mind is that most of what we hear about in the breaches is a fraction of what's really going on. Okay, it's a fraction of what's going on. Those are the ones that are just reported from there or had to report. There's lots of corporations that do not report because they don't have to because of what was stolen, but yet it was very serious. All of the things, just like what you just described, I mean, we get tons of calls by high-level executives and or corporations where someone has gotten in the middle of their communications and their wire transfers, get wire transfers transferred out, stealing tons of money, posing as the person that they've been doing business with for years as a manufacturer. And we actually had a case not too long ago that the executive that got hit, someone got in the middle of between him and his CPA, and he sent multiple thousands of dollars to who he thought was his accountant. And that money was stolen, siphoned off into Nigeria, had tentacles reaching back into the U.S. We were able to track the U.S. people, identify them. We were able to track them back into Nigeria because the client had enough money to be able to do it. So the fingerprints are there. But, you know, quite frankly, to that type of a case, you know, cost real money to go after. And, you know, if you've only had $10,000 stolen, because it may cost $25,000-$30,000 to go put a case like that together and really catch the guys. And so, you know, so there's also financial limitations by what you can do that get in the way. But, you know, but believe it or not, people, you know, automatically assume is that if you've got a case and it traces back to Nigeria, you can't do anything with it. Well, that's not true. You can. It just costs money.
Right. Costs money, but in a corporation's case, it's well worth pursuing and getting the wrongdoers, getting the money back. But you got to be quick about it. You can't sit around and wait. I mean,
that's correct.
You got to hire somebody like you right away while the trail is still hot. So just three things that you can do to stop your identity from being stolen or becoming a victim of cybercrime, Bruce?
Yeah, there's something that I came across recently that I thought was actually pretty good in dealing with, and because there's another aspect of stealing money, for instance, from your ATMs, but basically utilizing Bluetooth in order to do it, and consequently is that, and this is being done down in Mexico, in most of your places in your resort areas, all your ATMs are basically set up to steal your money from a Bluetooth aspect, because they had gotten in with not with the manufacturer of the chips, but installers of the manufacturers of the primary chips that go into ATM that do the recording of the transactions with that, and consequently they would install the hacker's equipment in that, and they're sitting in there and they're admitting information out, and so consequently you can go in and in that place, it's, you know, the admission is the free to move admission in terms of Wi-Fi that you're looking at there, and at the same time there's two of them sitting in that ATM, and so it was, I found it very interesting that even in ATMs you got to start looking at whether or not, you know, there's two signals that are matching the same signals as the original signal in order to be able to do that. But the second thing that I think is that if you do get hit with an identity theft, is one of the things that you can do with the bureaus is do what is called a credit freeze.
Yeah.
And you can actually freeze your credits, and then that way it blocks people from inquiring into that. And so while people may get away with a few dollars here and there, and most of the time you're going to be able to recover that from your banks, but it's the big ones that can really get people in trouble and hurt them for life, where someone's gone and bought a house or a car or boats or whatever with that, and you can shut that down with some of that credit free stuff.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And credit freeze or fraud alert also is good. And those are two services that Keep My ID just happens to offer. So something you definitely need to be aware of. Anyway, Bruce, people want to find out more about you, want to know what you're doing and how you can be of service to them. Best place to find you?
Best place to find us at our website is cyberinvestigationservices.com.
cyberinvestigationservices.com. As always, you will find a link to Bruce's site in the show notes to this interview once it gets posted. And Bruce, can't thank you enough for being on. And hey, stay safe and take the steps necessary to prevent you from becoming yet another victim. Bruce, we will talk to you again soon. Thanks.
I appreciate it.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.